Get out your pencils, paper, and charge cards. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has drawn up her list for the best books of the year. Here's part one of her list, Best Fiction of 2006.
Nothing makes you appreciate good books more than not being able to read them. That's the fix I found myself in for a few weeks this past summer. I was recovering from eye surgery and mostly had to stay still with one eye closed. Of course, I listened to public radio round the clock, but loved ones also brought me books on tape. Nothing complicated, I pleaded in my weakened state. I just want good stories. So in came the recordings of overly cozy mysteries and Maeve Binchy novels read by actors with too much blarney in their voices. What saved me was a droll recording of Allegra Goodman's first novel, Catterskill Falls. My husband brought it home from the library because a few months before misfortune struck, I'd been raving about Goodman's second novel, called Intuition, one of my candidates for one of the best novels of 2006. Intuition takes place in a cancer research laboratory in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Goodman likes to delve into the intricate relationships among people in closed communities. Catterskill Falls was set in a summer vacation bungalow colony of Orthodox Jews. The big idea Intuition explores is, how do we discern the truth? To mull over that question, Goodman, like her scientist characters, takes up a microscope. She's a miniaturist who, like Barbara Pym and Jane Austen, finds wit as well as wisdom in small details. Here, for example, is how she nails the character of a star oncologist who heads the lab. He radiated hope to every patient. Instead of death, he dwelt on baseball games and the Boston Marathon. He set himself squarely against every cancerous cell and so inspired his patients into battle that magically, even the most sophisticated believed that he could never fail them. Their worry was that in dying, they might fail him. Another superb novel that also kept its focus trained on a few complex characters was Claire Massoud's The Emperor's Children. The children of the title are three friends nearing 30 who live in New York and have the kind of jobs, documentary filmmaker, editor, book critic, that look great on paper but don't always cover the rent on their Manhattan apartments. Massoud deliciously exposes and slowly unwinds the illusions that wrap her characters in a sense of their own superiority. The climactic scene of The Emperor's Children takes place on September 11th. Two other works of fiction that came out this year also successfully tackled that tough subject. The title story of Deborah Eisenberg's fine short story collection, Twilight of the Superheroes, describes the attack on the World Trade Center, while most of the five stories that follow take place in what we've now come to call the post-9/11 world. Politically charged, these short stories aren't just mausoleums for finely wrought feelings. Ditto for Ken Kalfas's extraordinary novel, A Disorder Peculiar to the Country. A political satire, it links the private nightmare of a marriage gone sour to the public nightmare of 9/11. Finally, Catherine Webber's terrific novel, Triangle, deserves mention in this Gotham lineup. The tragedy at its center is not 9/11, but rather the infamous Triangle Shirtwaist Fire of 1911. I lazily thought the subject had been all but exhausted, especially after Washington Post reporter David Vondrele's excellent nonfiction book on the subject, also called Triangle, that came out in 2003. Nope. At the center of Weber's clever and moving tale is the last survivor of the fire, a woman now over 100 who remembers far more than she lets on to those eager to capture her recollections for their oral history projects. Two Alices also make the best fiction list this year. Alice Munro, whose autobiographical stories, The View from Castle Rock, begin with imaginative reconstructions of her ancestors' emigration from their bleak farms in Scotland, and Alice McDermott, whose novel After This is a haunting account of how the sweeping social changes of the 1960s affected one lower-middle-class Irish Catholic family on Long Island. Speaking of families, Ernestine Gilbreth Carey died in November at the age of 98. Who, you might ask? Well, Mrs. Carey was the author, with her brother Frank Gilbreth Jr., of the beloved 1948 bestseller, Cheaper by the Dozen. The story of the Gilbreth brood and their parents still fascinates, as evidenced by the recent Steve Martin movie remakes of the book. And last, but certainly not least this year, Richard Ford's novel, The Lay of the Land, also explores the complexities of family, especially after divorce and remarriage. The Lay of the Land is the final volume in Ford's Frank Bascombe trilogy that began with The Sports Writer in 1986 and continued through Independence Day in 1995. Some of my most recent blissful moments were spent listening to Frank's musings on everything from the Bush presidency to the chummy atmosphere of a lesbian bar to the teeth-gnashing familial conviviality of Thanksgiving. If there were ever a reason this year to be especially grateful for the gift of clear sight, Ford's as the author and mine as the lucky reader, it's embodied in The Lay of the Land.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. Her list of the year's best novels and short story collections will be on our website, freshair.npr.org.